you were listening to Sojourner Truth Radio here on KBOO Portland. Coming up later today, we've got a 10:15 Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein at 11 o'clock on the Recovery Zone. Stephanie Potter welcomes historian Ray Raphael and Community Rights U.S. founding director Paul Cienfuegos. And we'll listen to a little more Hugh Masekela, and then we'll get right to Air Cascadia. This is KBOO Community Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Thirsty City, a monthly beat and rap night at The Know in Portland. On Saturday, January 27th, Thirsty City hosts the launch party for their new label and cassette release featuring 29 beat instrumentalists from Portland and Munich. The release party also features live sets by Bri Zen, Two North, and more. Again, that's Thirsty City at The Know, 3728 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, January 24th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, Community Sanctuary Solidarity. Sanctuary, as long as we can hang on to it, at least. So, rolling right up onto the weather before we bring on our guest today, Josh Laughlin, Cascadia Wildlands. We're going to talk a little bit more about apex predators and what the disappearance of apex predators, what that means, how that affects the community what should we call ourselves these days in America? The last people who actually are putting pieces together, notably loss of territory, loss of habitat, in the case of in Oregon, of gray wolves and the return of wolves, and what it means when we lose habitat for apex predators. How do we understand that? It's important to understand that because we do see the results of his failure to draw the connections. We see it all the time. We see notable lack of concern for life and limb in this country, shootings everywhere. We are indeed the deadliest species the planet has ever seen. And it's questionable, it is a question, whether we need to take a long, hard look at that. Are we intended to be the deadliest species? And how studying apex predators, how we are able to come up with some clues in that respect. So first, though, let's take a look at the weather, because indeed we are the deadliest species. This is our habitat, and it's raining here. The highs today around 49 in some places, not mine, but some places. South wind 9 to 15 miles an hour, gusting up to 24. Overnight lows in the 30s, and wind persisting 8 to 10. It's an absolute sure shot that we're going to get rain overnight. And for tomorrow, showers continue, thunderstorms possibly, later in the day, noon-ish, highs around 46, and for tomorrow night, showers likely, and again, possible thunderstorms in the offing, lows around 37. That's it for weather across Cascadia, at least our corner of it. We do have just a couple, just a brief things. I do want to draw listeners' attention to this curiosity. Whitefish, Montana. Wow, what a community. It seems that it's ground zero for a number of things. Our incredibly dangerous and deadly, brainless Secretary of the Interior, Ryan Zinke, lives there. His neighbors are the two questionable young business entrepreneurs, two of them, very new company, as in check your watch for when the company first started, who somehow managed to land a contract for rebuilding the energy infrastructure for Puerto Rico. Wow, what a doozy of a contract that must have been. Upwards of the millions, possibly when they finally clean out their desks, touching upon the billions. Well, that as soon as that came to the attention of the grown-ups, they closed down that lemonade stand pretty fast. But again, they are neighbors of Ryan Zinke out there in Whitefish, Montana. Other neighbors of the redoubtable Mr. Zinke's are of the white supremacists in this country, that Whitefish, Montana seems to be their stomping ground, and they walk the streets armed, dangerous, unmolested by the rest of the population, screaming bitter tears on behalf of their white male comrades in arms. And I do mean arms. So we're taking a look at who's neighbors with whom, it sometimes dredges up odd fish. Whitefish, Montana, there you have it. It's so easy, it seems, for mainstream media, which these days seems to be looking better and better compared with its competitors. And yet, it's so easy, it seems, for mainstream media, or whatever passes for such, or even for that matter, independent media outlets, to either ignore or remain blissfully unaware of some of the connections that are around us all the time. It's so easy to overlook this kind of thing. These aren't coincidences. This is the fact that the arguably the most dangerous of Trump's ministers would be Secretary of the Interior Ryan Zinke. He certainly has the ability to do real lasting damage, and he's going about it in a manner that would suggest that he believes he's going to get away with it. So far, he has. And again, take that just one more step further and look at the past year of Trump. In every case, with this sort of looking back on Trump's first however many months, Trump's first year in office, nothing much has happened as far as standing up to our homegrown tin pot despot. Not much. There's been terrific television, of course, but then, as we are constantly reminded by what else? Television is supposedly better and better all the time, so better watch more of it. Emanating from that dark recess of the American mind, and we are told that Donald Trump has managed to stumble through what is laughably called accomplishments, but to very, very little real opposition. Nothing much has encumbered Mr. Trump. And that indeed bodes ill. This is, in case you were wondering, this is the run-up to the next presidential election. We're in it right now. This is it. And it from this vantage point, it really looks like Trump is going to end up with another 4 years. America right now is virtually unrecognizable. This is nothing remotely this country is nothing what it was a year ago. People, as we say again and again, don't know what the USA Patriot Act is, which again, arguably, could be said to set the stage for exactly this kind of thing to happen. The film Idiocracy is a reality, and it's even worse. What we have now is even worse than the premise of that film, which I encourage everyone to see, of course. We're going to speak today with Josh Laughlin at Cascadia Wildlands. We wanted to get to this last week, but now we've got Grey Wolves on Mount Hood, and well, we want to talk a little bit about the role, if we knew what it was, what the role was that apex predators played in a habitat shared, hopefully shared, by a number of different species, of which a human one would be perhaps the most, certainly indeed the most deadly. The ways in which it uses its deadliness are interesting indeed. Josh, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, one of the things that remains unexamined, and I think it is, we're certainly going to pay the price. We are paying the price right now. Human species has emerged as, I would probably not an apex predator. That would be giving it far too much, but certainly the most deadly species that the planet has ever seen. And the fact that as the most deadly species, when we say that, we want to talk about the horrific possibility of planet Earth turning into a monospecies as we go blissfully about our way, wiping out anything at all that inconveniences us even slightly. Got a bee allergy? Got a bee sting? Don't worry about it, because that soon will be a thing of the past if CRISPR and those who wield the magic power have their way. Talk a little bit about the gray wolf and the role of apex predators.
Sure. Well, gray wolves are currently making a historic comeback here in the Pacific West, not just in Oregon, but also in neighboring Washington and south of us in California. Here in the state of Oregon, since approximately 2008, the population has grown from zero wolves to over 100 confirmed wolves in the state. And that's a product of wolves naturally migrating back into the state after their systematic eradication through government bounty hunts back in the early 1900s. And given enough time and human tolerance, wolves are very adaptable and will resume their right place back on the landscape, and that's what we're seeing now. That said, as we're in the midst of this incredible wildlife recovery success story, significant threats continue to mount that could jeopardize this fragile recovery process that we're in the midst of.
And that would be, of course, ranches grazing on lands that were never intended to be grazed in this hamburger industrial complex.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's fair to portray all ranchers as doing the wrong thing. There's a lot of livestock producers doing the right thing out there and taking proactive methods to reduce conflict between wolves and livestock before it happens. And we need to recognize that and honor that, but absolutely, there's a sector of the livestock community that's not welcoming wolves back. There's also been a recent rash of poaching incidents where wolves are being illegally shot. The state of Oregon is currently in the process of revising its gray wolf recovery plan, and significant threats to the species are being being posed through that process that Cascadia Wildlands and some of our colleagues are pushing back on. For example, the state's considering creating a limited hunting season of gray wolves. If you can believe it, we've got just over 100 known animals back in the state, and the discussion around hunting wolves is already on the table. So it's important that we get this right. You know, it's about 70 years passed in Oregon where the landscape was silenced of wolves after the eradication. And it's incredible that they're back on the landscape now and they're returning to their rightful landscapes, whether it's in northeast Oregon around the Eagle Cap Wilderness or now on Mount Hood or down by Crater Lake or soon to be down in the Klamath Siskiyou ecoregion in the southwest portion of the state. It's an incredibly exciting time, yet we need to remain vigilant to ensure they do assume their rightful place back on the landscape across these historic habitats.
But the thing too is that they are historic habitats, and this is at prehistoric habitats for that matter. But something for listeners to be aware of and to think about, and again, draw connections, is the fact that with the loss of habitat for apex predators across North America, or across the planet for that matter, we see the most murderous, deadly species, human species, feeling the sort of creep of madness and taking more and more life.